Hello.
Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, and it is 7 o'clock.
Oh, great.
Yes, indeed it is. And tonight, we are sticking our foot in our mouth again.
We're good at that.
We've been practicing all week, apparently, for the last 2 weeks, and we've gotten a certain expertise at it, but...
We're familiar with the exercise.
Yeah. Let's just say some of us have been certified.
Yeah.
Did I hear Judy on the phone?
Judy, are you there?
Hi, I think so.
There you
Hello,
go.
Judy.
Hello.
So I was off rambling and romping along.
Gallivanting. Yep.
And missed the class. Last week, I got back into the area about 9 p.m.
Well, that would have been great.
It was too late for me to call in at that time.
Along with everything else.
And I know, and as I said at the beginning of the class, that we want to cycle back to that first preface of the 14 reasons. Why should we work on ourselves? Because this is something that we're going to... We want to keep it fresh in our mind. And I sent a suggestion to my colleagues, and particularly about number 7.
Yes.
And because we ended the previous week's class with a comment, a startling comment, in my opinion, where EJ, I'm now on page, the English edition, page 2.
Of chapter 1.
Of chapter 1. A practical, excuse me.
Invocation.
We are in the Invocation of Presence by E.J. Gold. And at the, on the right-hand column, actually I'm going to just back up a little bit. He goes, without, he's speaking to his students, and we are those students now, okay? We are the ones charged with what he's about to tell us. You have it in Spanish? Okay. Do you know where I am about?
Okay.
Yeah. What page is that in the Spanish edition? 35. Okay, so in the Spanish edition, we're starting in page, página 35, okay? And we are at the bottom of the column on the left in this format, which is different, just after the one that says, the present exercise, Paula, says, we will make a new organization for work on self. He began coughing slightly to clear his throat. Then he goes on, he says, without a new organization, our work may not survive another generation. And then he says, I work in exile for my future family, because we are family. What we reconstruct the concept of family, we were born of a mother and a father, and we raised with brothers and sisters. And, yeah, pull up next to her. So it's at the very beginning of chapter 1. Capitulo uno. I should have brought my, I have the first chapter in Spanish. I should have brought it. We've already worked past prologue,
that.
Prologue, yeah. Preface, the introduction.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Here.
You find the heading, it says the presence exercise.
Yeah, if you give us the book, we'll find it for you.
Yeah.
And after the presence exercise, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth paragraph. Depending on, it could be tonight. Yeah. Paragraph 5.
I'll bring my top chapter. 25.
Page 25 in the Spanish version. Okay.
25 in the Spanish version. Pull up next to her if you'd like to. And then you guys can share.
And also the phone.
And you can share the phone. And you can give me clues about the Spanish version. So the point is this, is that, so why do we need, which is what Pat and Ivan studied last week with us, was why work on ourselves at all?
Mm-hmm.
And we had these vague ideas of, well, you know, I want to help the poor and the hungry and the illiterate. But he's saying here another thing altogether. He's saying, I work in exile. What does he mean by that, an exile? We work in exile for my future family.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what it is. When we reformulate ourselves in what, in fact, constitutes family. Now, I was, and Harry, you know, this reflects with you too. We were both adopted. So from a physical lineal point of view, I never knew my family.
Right.
I was adopted at 3 days old from the hospital. All I knew was I was given away. That seems to be stuck in the thing here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, in the electrical matrix of that which makes me up. So I look, well, who is my family then?
Mm.
And I stand in a very interesting place in being able to answer that question, because I know I have found my family.
And how do you describe the manner in which you know that? That's the significant point.
And that's what we're going to get into. That's what's important in the work we're going to do in this next in this chapter here. I know it because I am in touch and aware of my essential self. I'm able to vibratorily connect with that which is my essential self. The presence of, what's the term he uses at the very end of here? Hang on.
Accidental presence?
Well, he talks about the accidental presence. The presence of my organic, of my essential self is aware. I am aware of it. And then from time, meet individuals, and I have an immediate sense of colleague with them.
That's a language that it communicates to our brain about it.
Okay.
But in a simpler way.
Let me.
This is the language that I have for myself, which is those with whom I can be.
So, as I become more familiar with the sense of what it is to be I, myself, then I can recognize a similarity of vibratory resonance. Thank you. There's a resonance. I mean, there are people in this room right now that I've known for 30 years, and some people I've known for about a year, and yet the resonance is clear and distinct, because that's the form, that is what constitutes my new family, the family of my family of the future. Therefore, what is the work in front of me? What is my work that I need to do on myself but to sow that garden and work in that garden more and more and more. Because not only will I become more familiar with it, but guess what? There's a vibratory sensation, and then people, they for some strange reason, they like me. I really like him.
Well, there's a part to this which is, it's continuity in a non biological form.
Absolutely.
Which is the sentence he goes before this, without a new organization, our work may not survive another generation. You know, we know what that means in the physical, you know, our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren. But that's not what's meant here, because what it says, the next sentence says exactly and specifically, I work in exile. And so my question was, in exile from what? What does that mean? Because when we hear the word exile, we think, you know, political exile, you know, asking for sanctuary in another country because you can't go back home. You get sent into exile if you've done something bad. It's a form of punishment. So I'm guessing that these are not the specific ways in which he's using this word. Go ahead.
No, he is not. He's in,
David?
Yes, Harry.
If I may take a stab at this, I would say that we are in exile. Our essential being is in exile in this body. And each of us find ourselves in a strange land, namely our biological machine. And we can read and understand the company of the brotherhood of spiritual souls with whom we vibrate in harmony.
Harry has indicated over the years, the last couple of years, he says, and correct me if I'm not getting it, Harry, that we have, it's so easy to get into invocation with this group of people.
Yes.
There's a simplicity. First of all, well, we're not going to go into that a lot, okay, the behavior of invocation. We'll get to that in a few chapters. But right now, I'm just this thing of sensing who your essential self is. What is your eye? Boy, did I have a great trip with my daughter, too, because she has these problems. I mean, she's 29 years old, you know. She has problems with life, right? How do I solve it? And she has some very interesting problems. And at one point I realized there's nothing you can do to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know that theoretically, right? It doesn't stop us.
No.
I mean, we spend most of our day.
Yeah.
This is why Rudy's comment is so good, practical work on others.
Others.
But we realize at a certain point, now here's somebody has no background directly in this work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it struck me that the only way for her through this particular problem, which is not important what it is, is, and I asked her the question, have you ever had a experience? This is a very general question. I'm asking it again, and we asked it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where you knew you were in yourself, whatever that means, almost without hesitation, she said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she described the experience.
Right.
We spent 5 days studying that answer, that yes. What did it feel like?
Mm-hmm.
What was, I knew, and I never talked about the external aspect of it.
Right.
Never talked about the external until she had a good sense. And then this comes back to something you said a couple of weeks ago, Pat, if you'll remember.
Oh, I do.
This says, this is the mood of that sensation. This is the higher emotions. And you know, Judy, the name of this particular chapter is called what? The emotion of presence and memory.
And memory.
And you and I are going to work on answering why is it so, and Pat's giving us an answer here, that it's partly there's a special mood until we got to a point where she could say, I think I can get there.
Mm-hmm.
I can find my way there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a voyager directing themselves to the practice of sensation to I. How cool is that?
I think it's a lovely descriptive biographical present time demonstration of one half of this sentence, which says I work, and the other part says in exile, which we're going to, I think, leave for the moment. But the next part it says for my future family. And that was the part when Ivan and I, we actually read your email last week to the group before we started, and we said, this is what we're going to work on. And we emphasized, and I think Judy offered some additional helpful commentary on the point number 7 from the 14 that we were looking at in relation to this. And I went away from this gathering last week with those 14, you know, running around and still sticking with my favorite 3, you know.
Right.
Until I came to tonight and I looked at this sentence and I again, oh, wait a second. I work in exile for my future family. That would be something that only I,
there you go,
in full presence would recognize and could actually participate in its development. That was the part I never got before. I didn't understand this.
There's the
without a new organization, our work may not survive another generation. I just didn't get it.
There's the home run.
Can I make a comment on this exile?
Please.
Wow. I mean, that's a very strong statement. And when I sit with that, I am in exile. There is a mood.
Yeah.
There is a moment. I am in exile. And it is a separateness. We step into another world. Although we live in the world where we pay taxes and have jobs, and those laws are not meaningful to us anymore.
That's right.
I mean, we follow the rules, you know, but the point is that we are creating a new structure, a new set of, I don't want to use the words rules, I don't really like that rule, but a new set of criteria for living, a new set of laws. And in this state of exile, I have a sense, as I say it, that I have not been completely willing to experience the emotion and the depth of that exile, and that it does cause suffering.
Yep.
So that's what I have to say.
And in some of the other literature that EJ has, he acknowledges this point that we are in exile and that we really are quite alone. And then he says, but from time to time, you find co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
Think how precious that is.
Absolutely.
I mean, what unbelievably precious gift that is. You're a traveler, your backpack, you're on the road, there's nobody, you're surviving, difficult. And then you see a co-worker right there. This is a great value and great, you know, and it's...
Dan has something.
You have something, Dan?
Dan.
Oh, I was just...
He's got an alien on the phone.
Yeah. Love him anyway, okay?
Talk about exile, okay.
Let me get my straight face on verse. The preface says, why work on ourselves at all? And here we have an answer that I find more compelling than the ones presented in the preface, which is for my future family. It's for others. It's not just for me.
This is how it hit me as well, Dan, and that's why I emphasized it and scribbled in my book here. And that, for me personally, is fundamental to the methodology that we're about to explore. Okay, I once asked EJ, and we were talking about invocation. It was an interesting talk. Anyway, we were talking about invocation, and I said, well, yeah, but then what do you do when you get there? And he looked at me and he goes, you know, wrong question, cowboy. You know, because, you know, that was the, and at the time we discussed it, was the male mental mind.
Yeah.
What do I do now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Pat hit it. She said, you just can be. And that's kind of the work that we're supposed to do. So we...
I'd like to make another point here.
Yeah.
And this is something that has been pointed out to me in more than one tradition, one being the Gurdjieff tradition, and the other when I had a guru. And basically that this work that we do not only carries forward, it carries back, because linear time is an illusion. And
Gurdjieff
particularly stresses when he does this little treatise on justice about the work on our lineage and line of the blood, and we have a responsibility to our line of blood. You don't even have to know who they are or anything. Is that
no, 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 no. Just say it again, exactly your opening statement, slowly and clearly.
Okay. The work that we do carries forward and also carries back.
Okay.
It affects generations to come and generations past. So we basically work on our bloodline, our lineage, as we do our work. That means our grandparents, people that are deceased. And it's very, very interesting to ponder this concept, because what it does is it destroys or goes against everything we think and actually experience about time. And that's a very, profound thing. You know, I wish I had that in front of me right now.
Well, you'll grab it and we'll discuss it, you know, in time, because that is an important thing. But go ahead, Tamara, go ahead.
Well,
I was
thinking.
I found it, if you want it.
Well, Judy, I was thinking just along the same lines. I remember being in Boulder listening to Choyam Trimpa Rinpoche, and he was talking about having come to the U.S. In exile, having to learn the language, leaving behind his robes, and trying to bring the teachings to a very different culture. And he talked about lineage, and that idea of lineage is in sacred time or outside of time. And there was such a sense of being known and welcomed into this family that I get the same flavor from it. Or in the Christian tradition, the communion of saints.
The communion of saints. And do you want to go ahead? Or is this in line?
Well, there is a comment from Grocki. For myself, the work in exile and new organization part is simply about doing the work for real in the moment rather than conforming to crystallized traditions or forms, and by doing the real work.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Grocki. That's good. I want to add one more piece in addition to what Tamara has spoken about and Judy has mentioned it in terms of lineage. And that has to do with the fact that we sit in circle in this gathering, which is, you know, our electronic family.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have sat in circle many, many, many years with other lineages. This has been part of the tradition of this particular school, is to always have linkage. So we've got Zalman's school and Claudio's school and
Heather Valencia.
Heather Valencia. So we
Native
have these
American
overlaps, which if you have a small opening, can do linkage, and that's how I understand lineage, can do linkage for you with your other life lines, your other bloodlines, but especially your other school lines. And that's when it gets, you know, I mean, it's particularly strong through EJ because he draws that.
Absolutely.
So that's always part of what has gone on here.
Wait till you see the next, what's going to happen in the next few months. We'll be surprised with some interesting people. So. But I wanted to bounce ahead.
Thank you for that. Go for it.
So this is, did you find the line in the Spanish edition about I work in exile? Okay. And then it's about five paragraphs ahead. It says, the most that any ordinary man is able to say. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay. The most that any ordinary man is able to say, and then only by accident of circumstances,
mm-hmm.
thank you, is I happen somehow to be here now. With utter astonishment.
Yes.
This form of consciousness in which we are, for a moment, able to sense the presence of the real I in the present. And not just the dim, automatic eye of personality. That is so-called awakening. Okay, this is the first stone, the first cornerstone that we place on the structure.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we can, it's like he's made it so simple in a sense. It's, as I've said in the past, it's too simple for the human mind. Okay, it's just too simple for the human mind. Because I'm like, da-da-da-da. But anybody that we work with, and the fishes are...
Oh, the fishes are flying.
They're agreeing with
Archangel's
us.
Archangel's dancing and fishes are flying.
And so we're in a position where we can just start there. For some reason, I'm here right now. Wow, here I am. Okay, now when you do that, don't attempt not to quickly go into the formative mind and the da-da-da-da.
And comprehend it.
And comprehend it.
Just let it be.
Be with it for a second. This moment right now that's before us, right now, just take a moment and say, I got the time. I've got a little vacation moment here. I've got a moment of freedom. Take that little moment of freedom and just... yourself. Oh, that. Oh, that's what he means. Isn't that precious? Isn't just that moment a precious moment? That's what we have all the time. And that's what he's saying here. It doesn't have to be a big philosophy. It's just, you're here, right? Take the time for yourself. And the reason is just because you've got a lot of work to do. You have a lot of work to do, and he said it up above in the thing, I work in exile, and you got a lot of work. But take some time for yourself, big S, take some time for that. Okay? Take some time for yourself and stand in that. All right? Stand in that. Kabbalistically, we're standing in the middle path at that time, and we're standing in Tippereth, and we can stand there, and we're awash in that. Okay? As my remarkable daughter found, you can find your way back to that. Allow yourself to be surprised. I don't know why I always say the supermarket, because I go to the supermarket at the Briar Patch there, and you know, I use it as a lot of exercises when I'm there. But find yourself in unexpected places. Okay? Can you do that? I think so. I think we can do that. In a few pages, we're going to get a formula. Right now, that's all we have to do. Every once in a while, just, hey, I'm here right now. To my utter astonishment. And be astonished, because it's okay. Astonishment opens up this portal that Pat's talking about. that I have the mood to travel with. Okay? I have that ability. Okay. That's that. And goes on, ordinary life.
Again, has something to offer
him. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Grocki was actually not done and has continued his comment, so I should reread and just do the whole thing. Okay. For myself, the work in exile and new organization part is simply about doing the work for real in the moment rather than conforming to crystallized traditions or forms. And by doing the real work freshly in the moment, it starts creating portals and paths for the future family and workers open to the absolute in the living present rather than historical conformity. And then he adds, I had a wonderful elderly spiritual godmother once who was the real deal, and she used to say, it's so simple, honey, I can't even tell you what it is.
It is right. It's too simple
for the human mind.
Too simple for the human mind. And that's okay. Because we're in exile from that, aren't we?
Yes.
We're as, who was it, Ivan? The undiscovered country, fourth way. Who wrote The Undiscovered Country? Kat?
No.
Mansfield. Thank you, Ivan.
Yeah.
This is our incredible resource.
Our live archive.
We are walking into an undiscovered country, and we're developing the tools of navigation as we go in there. We are well prepared. We're developing those tools, and we're mapping out the undiscovered country. For who?
Oh, maybe for myself.
For ourselves to present to our
future family.
Our future family. So when you have a chance, when you have an experience, you go, well, it's not that important, really. You know, it's not really profound. Post it somewhere, because someone's going to come along and you're going to be the only voice they've heard.
Yeah,
that is the truth.
So, so true. And just you just laid it up there for me. I just can't walk away from it. So my mother's second husband's family owned a good portion of San Diego County, very wealthy people. And where we lived was an avocado ranch outside of town. And the local school district was having elections, and my folks contributed their time and effort, and they heard about this talk that was going to be given to the adults about some techniques for learning. I was six, maybe. And for some reason, I got to go. And I do not recall the talk, but I recall the presence. The guy on the stage was describing something which was theoretical and educational and all of that stuff, which, of course, I didn't grok or wish to in the slightest. But what he created on the stage was so magical to me. I was there. I remember the whole thing, the scene. And I asked my mother about this one time, maybe 3 or 4 years later. She says, you weren't there.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I was like accidentally in the chamber, okay? And she wasn't. It wasn't for her.
That's exactly.
It was not for her.
Very important point. And we'll come back over that over and over and over again.
You just have to know. And have, I don't know what that word is. You'll get it later.
We don't know exactly what it is. Yeah. But if you start to feel the sensation of your commitment and obligation to your future family, you'll write stuff down, okay? You're going to post it because Jamie, in about a year, reads it and for some reason, you're the only post that she could get. You know, I sit there and I post things up on the Invocation of Presence Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretender to the throne, and you know what? I don't care, because I'm going to do it, because there's one guy that's going to read the damn thing and he's going to go, oh, that. Maybe. And it's okay if they don't. So it's an exercise in my being to do that. But I want to jump ahead. Okay. Now this one is the next where it says the, and this one says the exercise. El ejercicio.
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 A little bit better, she says. With great tolerance. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Ivan. Yeah, start with the exercise.
The exercise.
To begin with, one must learn to divide attention at least a little, with half the attention on it, the organic self plus the outer world, and the other half on our real I, which can be found by tracing attention back to the source of attention with the use of senses. Field of vision changes slightly, and the phenomenal veil lifts a little.
Let's just, okay. This is very, very profound. Okay, let's see if we can dissect what we're being offered here. So he's saying, what do you think he means of have your attention on it? Just in a simple way. I have my attention on that camera, okay? I have my attention on the camera. For the most part, that's all I'm capable of. All goes, oh, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he says in the next part of the sentence, what does he say? And then he goes, plus, oh no,
the
other half on the real eye. Mm-hmm. Well, we found out what the other real eye was, right?
Yes, we did that a moment ago.
Okay, can you touch that again real for just a moment? Touch that sense of the real eye. Can you get there? Feel it? Can you feel it? Yeah, okay. Now, don't give that up, but put your attention on the camera. Don't lose that. Also put your attention there. Wild, huh? An island in the sea of consciousness, Tamara tells us. It is, we are, that is exactly right. EJ gave a hint of this early on in the introduction, by the way. But right now, so what happens if you go through life and, you know, you're at the store, at the cleaners. We've left the grocery store. We've gone to the cleaners now, and we're picking up the laundry. And we say, and we're interacting with the person. Most of the time, we're so afraid that everything goes to the person. What have we done? We've given ourselves away at that moment. And I say, start with holding on to this. If you can talk to the guy, fine. If not, that's okay.
You'll get your clothes anyway.
Eventually, you'll get your damn clothes.
Because they'll want you to get out of their shop.
So, don't give up yourself, because you have a lot of work to do with it. There's work ahead for you, and it's protecting the self, and what an exercise that is. And we're going to, when you walk out tonight or you close down the program and it's over, and you get up and you go to the refrigerator, open the freezer, looking for, see if there's any of that rocky road left, just because you worked hard, right? You get a cookie because of the, used to buy donuts. They'd sit there for a month. But attempt to keep the I alive as your pain, giving your attention to that. At the same time, at that moment, you are truly standing in two worlds.
So let's go back to the beginning of the sentence.
Okay.
It says, to begin with, so this is the start. We're not assuming that you have anything going on. So that's the first thing. Actually, if you're doing this, drop everything else that you might be doing, you know, any of those other things that you think you're doing. So to begin with, one must learn to divide attention. Now, I didn't pay attention to that for a really long time because I assumed that if I could look at one thing and talk something else and do something with my other hand, that meant that I was dividing my attention. Wrong.
Correct.
That is not attention.
Correct.
That is automatic activity. It has nothing to do with attention.
It's complex.
Yeah.
It's complex.
It's a bunch of neurons.
Da, 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 da.
So the thing that says one must learn to divide attention at least a little really means just that. All you have to do is learn how to pay attention and divide your attention a little. That is a huge, big deal, guys. It's a lot. So just start with the instructions as they go through one word at a time. It'll make it a whole lot easier. Then it says, with half the attention on it. Half, approximately, okay? Half the attention on it, the organic self, and the other half on our real eye. That means that you're not doing anything else at that time, okay? It's not an exercise that you do while you're driving, watching TV, in the middle of your meditation, having a bath, a shower, whatever. This actually requires all your attention because half of it is on it and the other half is on I. And that's all the attention. There's not any left over to put on something else.
Nice.
Okay? Yes.
The thing that comes to mind is I think much more by images, and there's a beautiful drawing that EJ did called Inside Outside,
yeah.
which to me, when I look at that, I get the mood and feeling of this exercise. When I read the words, it's kind of linear. The exercise is linear. But when I look at that image, it's
yes.
Deliver the whole, it encodes the whole thing.
It evokes the mood that is required
yes.
to get the exercise.
Yes, I hope we can maybe show it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Another one that I'm going to try to get for you, okay?
This is definitely.
This Inside Outside.
One of them.
And while she's doing that, let me read some more comments from Grocky. That exercise just read about tracing back to the source of attention is, I feel, as David said, very profound. It is basically the entire method of the Advaitists, people who posit only the one oneness, as advised by saints like Shankara, Ramana, Maharshi, Nisargadatta, etc. And it's cool because it requires no belief, just actually tracing attention back to its source.
Creed.
Great, Mark.
There's no creed. There's no belief. Yeah.
This is not. I don't know if you can. You can they see this from here?
Well,
let me know.
You'll
here.
Walk over there a little
can
bit.
Can you do that, please, Dan? Thank you.
That's great. It's that one, yeah.
Yeah. There's.
It'll take another minute, I think.
Yeah.
About a minute and a half. Sure.
What you're about to see online is the image of Inside Outside. It's a charcoal piece. There you go.
A little closer, yeah, and down a little bit. Thank you.
Okay. this is an Italian author. We, on his behalf, we published his book. He got in touch with EJ. EJ wanted to do this
that's
on
perfect.
His behalf.
Yeah,
so.
That's beautiful.
And and don't forget, you and I need to bring that point up again, Judy, on another book that you and I have talked about getting published, okay? But later.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Thank you. Okay, so we're done now. That's pretty much the book.
Okay, all right, good. So we're moving on to the next book?
We're going to start the next book now.
Yeah, we're on page, three, and we have read one half of one sentence about this exercise.
So there's more?
So there's actually, we stopped him right here. Don't you think he should maybe read again and pick that up and go to the end of the sentence?
There was a reason I stopped him there, but go ahead.
Can I say something about the vision here, the vision changing?
Yeah, good. Wait a minute. Why don't you read it?
Oh, yes, please. Judy, would you please read that sentence again?
Start with back to the source of attention and then read the rest of the paragraph.
Back to the source of attention. With the use of sensing until the vision changes slightly and the phenomenal veil lifts a little. What I wanted to say is that when you are looking at an object, if that's what you decide to focus your attention, and then you put your attention on that, and then you bring your attention, hold that, and bring your attention and start tracing back, you know, it's going to be, you're not automatically at real eye. I mean, you know, what you're looking at, who is looking at the looker here? But if you close your eyes lightly, just lightly, and open them again, you're going to see your vision's going to change. And it's a technique, and I've tried it. And what happens is there is a softening and an expanding field of vision. So it's just a suggestion.
No, it's very good. And we're going to get in.
Did you put that on the...
Yeah, on... Can you post that on the Facebook Invocation of Presence?
Sure.
Judy, because that's really, some people will want that particular methodology. We will be describing aspects of invocation as we go through this book, not only things of how we behave in the space, but also certain things that happen visually, the temperatures and things like that. I just didn't want to focus up that immediately right now. But that will come up, and it's also an objective. There's an objectivity about that we can share one with another.
What if we just skip over the whole instruction and go on to the It Is Possible in 6 months? Oh, good. Someone was listening.
No, go ahead. Let's go. We'll go ahead and read that.
That could be our future family.
Go ahead and read the instructions then.
Carrying on from there.
The ambient.
Yeah, the ambient.
The ambient atmosphere will seem subjectively noticeably cooler as during seance in true meditation, during a successful angelic invocation, or at a voluntary passing from this life. At the same time, the other half of attention should be firmly but gently fixated on objects of outer attention, say the second hand of a clock.
Keep going.
Do this for 2 whole minutes without interruption in the sensing of presence of I. I is not fully present, or something else attracts the attention, even for one moment. Begin again. If prayer beads are used, count one bead for each involuntary break, tension. For the purpose of this exercise, all breaks in attention are involuntary.
Go ahead, Pat.
It is possible in 6 months, maybe 1 year, to attain the status of a 2-minute idiot. An idiot in this sense is anyone who struggles with his automatic phenomenal nature, his biopsychological conditioning. We must not be tempted to use this higher, non-phenomenal attention in the same way as a donkey follows a carrot tied to his own head, just mentally aware of our presence. We must successfully, with our unified will, invoke and sense our presence in the present.
Everything focuses on that. Our job right now, and you know, I'm going to say it in a strange way, as beginners, we're not beginners. These are individuals that are here that are experienced operatives. Everybody's here has been a lot of time in grade. But in a certain way, we're beginners always and every time. And that must become a tool that we carry all the time. And there's no reason to give it up. There's no reason to give it up. If the most dramatic thing starts occurring externally, there's no reason to give it up. And then you'll begin to actually change the world in which you live. You'll begin modeling it differently. And it will be different. Because eventually we're going to get into a discussion of emanation. But first we have to start to work on this over and over and over again. And next week when we continue, there's going to be some practices that we're going to talk about more diligently.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's like, then let's just keep going with this. I'm going to read the next paragraph,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
Dave, before you go on, I'd like to make a comment here on
please
the break of attention, please.
Yes.
A thought is a break of attention.
Absolutely.
So if I was just kind of practicing this here while you were talking. And I was focusing my attention on you and then going back to the source of attention. And there was nothing going on until I had a thought about something else. That was a break in attention. So
yeah.
It's kind of something to watch for if we think about anything else and our attention isn't fully attentive on what we're attending to.
When I was, many years ago, when I was in L.A., I found Teek Tianan, who EJ was friendly with. I didn't know it at the time. I had not yet met EJ or any of his stuff. And I took this 3-day meditation thing with him. And it was this is a first-level teacher, this fellow. And about 2 or 3 days into it, I had the exact experience of what Judy is saying. And we were sitting in meditation, and sometime in the afternoon, and, you know, now, you have to determine what part of me is actually saying this. I was doing pretty good, okay? And there was a lot of quiet, and the mind was very clean and clear. And at one point, I actually could see, like a vision, I could see a thought starting to emerge. It was so unusual. And at that point, it was really good to see that because it was a visual for me, a pictorial, how the monkey mind puts itself out and needs to be there.
It's a sensing of a vibration, because that's all thoughts are vibrations of the mind.
EJ then stood in front of the group in a bow and arrow pose, indicating the forward hand holding the bow. He said, "This hand represents the world of it, what we can call the present, the outer world, including our organic machine and its functioning centrums. Drawing the other hand back in a smooth, swift motion," he added, "this other hand represents presence becoming for the first time aware of its presence in the present. By drawing away from identification with events, by observing impartially at the same time using subjective organic sensation to sense its own definite presence in the present." There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's, and once again, a nice image, right?
Yeah.
So there's these two things that we're going to work with this week. Walk, whatever you're going to do. I mean, you're going to go to work, and you have a complex job, you know, working with somebody else. Of course, I get on the phone with clients talking about these complex business structures that we're working with. Don't lose myself. Don't give yourself away, because you got some work to do with it. Okay? How are we doing over there, Dan? Okay, that's okay. So, I mean, I think that's a full plate, okay, for tonight. That gets us going in chapter one there. And
Rocky just said, "Love what David said about seeing the thought starting to emerge. Now that is attention in the moment."
So thank you very much for coming this evening. We'll look forward to seeing you next week at 7 o'clock. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.